The lovely lady who's going to talk to us first tonight, it's been my pleasure to know for some time. I haven't heard her speak. I've heard her husband speak a couple of times, but I've heard a great deal of her, and I know that we're going to enjoy hearing from her. Mrs. Eileen McGinty.
Well, as Ruth said, my name is Eileen McGinty. I thought his description of the pit was very graphic and certainly an apt description, and I wish I had me a little pit right now. But to go back, first of all, I want to thank Phil and Ann Flaxman for inviting Dennis and me out here, and Russ and Eleanor and John and Evelyn for their wonderful friendship, as well as many of you that we have met since we've been here. It's a warming experience and certainly another one of the marvelous bonuses of AA. I have been thinking that never have I been faced with such battery. But I shall certainly try to do my best. I wonder if you have said, as I know I have said, when upset, angry, irritable, what's the matter with you? How many times have all of us heard that phrase from old parents, sisters, brothers, wives, husbands? You, me, saying angrily, what's the matter with you? How miserably I failed before, how often since I have come into AA, have I failed to follow up that question on my lips or in my heart with the more searching question, what's the matter with me? Let me take the first step. I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable. Is that what's the matter with me? This irritability, this sense of impending doom, this nervous feeling? Can it be that I have neglected to get a reasonable amount of sleep? Have I overlooked my vitamin D? Have I been eating unintelligently? Or to go back into a painful past, have I forgotten real impending doom? A doom that was my companion 24 hours a day. Have I forgotten that lesson hard won since my entrance into AA? The realization of what that statement means, my life has become unmanageable. The realization that no longer can I say, and say honestly, I am hurting no one but myself, but I have no right to hurt me. That no longer can I feel that I am master of my destiny, or the driver in the seat, as we say in AA. Then I can take the second step. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Is that what's the matter with me? This return to oversensitivity, this tortured thinking, this addled behavior, this touchiness? Have I forgotten in AA that the step reads, a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity if I want to be restored? That I did not receive any written guarantee, no one ever promised me, that I could not return to my previous way of thinking, that I should be on guard to catch myself when I did return. for I believe I always will return a little bit. It was pretty nice, that feeling of being always right, that everybody was out of step but me. However, for me, I must remember that no one problem has ever been completely solved for me by one neat decision. The ghosts of the past can still bother me. This return to sanity, if that is what it is a pretty painful sort of thing. This growth toward maturity, if that is what it is, can sometimes make me feel pretty sad. But let me remember how much more painful can be the consequences of that first drink. Give me the wisdom or the grace, if I believe in God, the knowledge of myself, if I want to use another set of words, to remember the lesson that I learned in the first step. Help me to clear this road to sanity. Let me not put knowingly, at least, obstacles in my path, or if they become obstacles and I fall, let me be able to get up and walk forward. Carrying my questioning still further, there is the third step. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him. Is that what's the matter with me? Very often, most often, that is what is the matter with me. And I have found when I have fought my rebellion hard enough, when I have reduced myself to the point where I was when I came into AA, and when I have turned my will back where it belongs and realized that I have again failed to turn where help is, then is when I receive the help. Then is when the load falls off my shoulders and I realize again it is a load that I have piled upon myself. Then I can go on to the fourth step. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Is that what's the matter with me? Have I forgotten the first few timid probings? The sick realization that came with them, that I was quite human, that I have a few virtues, quite a few faults. But never let me forget what a blessing it was and is to realize that I am a member of the human race, not a bystander failing to participate, or if my feelings were upset, participating a little too vigorously. Let me strive for balance, not expecting too little nor too much of myself. Above all, applying the rule only to myself, not to other people. Let me remember that they may be applying their rule, that they may be having quite as difficult a time with themselves as I find I am having with myself. Admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs. Is it the fifth step over which I have stumbled? Have I become again so unaware of myself, so unaware of what I say and what I do, that I fail to see the reason for my need to admit to God, to myself, and to another person the exact nature of my wrongs? Have I become so sick with pride again that I do not need the help of God, so secure in my own knowledge that I will not ask the opinion of another person? What is the matter with me? Have I failed to consider the sixth step, became entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character? Have I grown so fond of my excuses to myself and to others that I refuse to give up an old opinion and old habit and take on new opinions and new habits until I must again hit my head up against the wall of self-reproach for having failed to grow? Am I so ungrateful for the help given to me that I cannot accept this new tolerance I feel for the tolerance of others, so that I must urge them to do more than I am capable of doing at this time, even when I realize how little of the way I have gone and how much more of the path I have to travel? Have I become so enamored of the defects of character of others so that I may hide myself behind them to protect my own? Then there is the seventh step. Humbly ask him to remove my shortcomings. Is that why there is something again the matter with me? Have I failed again to turn to and to ask for help to remove my shortcomings, to have faith and confidence that very often I am actually doing about as well as I can do with the material that I have been given? And while I may continue to ask more of myself, let me be content with the little or the much I have gained. Let me be thankful that not too much is expected of me, nor too little. Then there is the eighth step. Have I made a list of all persons I had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all? Or am I still harboring an unwillingness to admit that I could be wrong? What have I failed to do? Make direct amends to others wherever possible? Let me remember again, O God, the sins of omission. Have I continued to do as it is suggested that we do, take a personal inventory, and when wrong, promptly admit it? No doubt I have. I'm sure that very often I have. That promptly admitted is a pretty difficult thing for me. I still cling to my old desire to feel that I am a judge in many matters, that my opinion is valuable when expressed. But I have come to learn that I may be a judge, perhaps in some matters, but far fewer than I used to think. And I have found that it can become quite a pleasure to sit back and not have an opinion. On another hand, let me remember that I must fight for my opinion when I do believe it is right. With the reservation, of course, I can change that opinion, given time and the opportunity. Let me remember that I have a right to righteous anger. When my tolerance is tried by what I consider to be the intolerance of someone else, my quiet time will come only after I have expressed my opinion. But let me realize humbly, O Lord, the position I defend so valiantly today can be changed tomorrow. Let me defend that position quite as valiantly. The 11th step reads, seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God as I understand him, praying for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. Have I reached a point again where everything is old hat to me? Let me recall, I have read of men and women. I have known men and women far wiser and finer than I, who have had trouble maintaining their conscious contact with God. Who hasn't heard of the dark night of the soul? Who hasn't experienced it? Let me remember, for me, there will be times, I imagine there will be many times, when my spirit will be off singing in the wilderness. Let me remember then, when I am unable to establish my personal contact with God that day, I will have a rich opportunity that day, as I have every day, to establish my personal contact with my fellow men, with my fellow members in AA. I am still able to communicate with them. I can still telephone. Then there is the 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I tried to carry this message, tried to practice these principles in my affairs. Once, and not too long ago, I desperately needed help. I still need help. Let me remember that the hand that I hold out to another, unsteady as I know it to be, unworthy as I know it to be, may seem by comparison quite steady to someone else. Above all, let me remember, if there is any degree of sobriety I have had, physical or mental, it has been a gift that I must continue to share if I am to have any left over for myself. Give me the grace to know when I am not the one to help another alcoholic. Let me not bind anyone to me, consciously or unconsciously, to this gift of love that we all feel in AA. Let me not distort this gift by inserting myself into it. Let me remember that anything that I am that is worth mentioning is not mine. Mine are the things I have failed to do. Mine are the things that I have refused to see. And let my final petition be, in this search for what's the matter, please help me not to lose the little I have gained. Let me never for too long, through my pride or anger or intolerance, be deprived of the love that I so long sought, only to find that it was within myself. That the door at which I knocked so long opened out of me, not as I so long thought, into me. Thank you.